passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more, whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, 2022 cannot officially begin until we ring in the new year with the man I reached out to Thanksgiving weekend, 2007.
Wow.
Sir, Mr. Ariel Helwani of jerrypark.com, would you be so gracious to come on Fight Network Radio to discuss your recent exclusive with Kurt Angle? And he said, Fight Network Radio, you small timers. Sure, I'll carve out some time. And since then, I have bothered him on a yearly basis, culminating in 2021, where the man showed up four times at post-wrestling, and I just went for it. I said, we've got to kick off the year right. The prediction show, the 10th annual prediction show, begins now. Ariel Helwani, independent Helwani, joining us now on the show. Hello, Ariel. Happy New Year.
Hello. Hello, John. Happy New Year. I can't wait for this. It doesn't feel... I'm over Happy New Year's, if I'm being honest. I feel like, you know...
I did say Happy New Year.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't like that. But after January 3rd, I feel like we need to move on. But it doesn't quite feel like the year starts until we do this. Sometimes we've actually done it in December. Sometimes we've done... Because you asked me so many times. Technically, I think it's five times in a calendar year, right? Like in the span of 365, this is my fifth appearance, correct?
We did the prediction show last year. We did post-podcast.
Was that in January or was it in December?
That is a good question. I cannot exactly remember when we did that show because I'm only remembering when I released it.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I can't remember either. In any event, four or five times. Back in 2007, a huge deal for me, of course, you reached out via email. This time, though, you reached out via text, which was very nice. Although you reached out text... put out the feeler, didn't throw out an actual date. I had to come back. That's how much I enjoy this. I come back with the day and time. True or false?
Very true.
What a guest I am. If a guest ever did that for me, hey, is this time and day good for you? I would go to their house, wherever they may live, and kiss their feet, if I'm just being honest.
Well, I did know that you had a bit of a travel schedule, so I was trying to be trying to accommodate you. But yeah, it was a faux pas because I usually do have the specific day and time so that they don't have that wiggle room, because it is a bit of a pet peeve to when I will get a request of, hey, can you come on my show, and just open ended.
So you know what? I actually do that now. You know why? Because I say, this is my new move. Can you come on the show on Monday? Mm-hmm. Right. Here's why I don't throw out the time, because I have like a 4-hour window, right, for MMA hour. So if I say, can you come on the show Monday at 2:30 and the request just stays there for a day, I'm going to get too anxious. I'm going to go and try to book someone else. So I don't want to commit to the time. I just want to commit to the day. Then they come back and they say, yeah, sure, what time? Now I'm looking at the landscape. Okay. And I try to respond right away. The most annoying thing, if we're really getting to the weeds, is if they say, yeah, sure, what time, you hit them back within seconds, because I'm usually very close to my phone right over here, and then they don't reply. I'm like, you just replied. Where did you go? Where could you have possibly gone? How is it possible that it's going to take you another 24 hours to get back to me? That drives me insane. Alas, these are the things that, you know, bookers like you and I have to deal with. We don't have professional bookers working for us like other great broadcasters. We just have to do the nitty-gritty ourselves. And dare I say, it's a better product as a result of that.
Yeah, it's something that, like, I from booking so many guests, like on a, like at the peak of it, when we were doing Fight Network Radio Monday to Friday, that was minimum two guests a day, sometimes more. And then The Law on Sundays. So that was my week of booking every single one. And I just about, you know, the odd time Moro would have, you know, a request to have someone on that he'd call or something. But largely that was all on me. And coming out of it, not when we started post, not having that, we need to have this guest on this day every single week. It was like, man, I became more selective with booking interviews, because with you, you're putting together a puzzle every week, twice a week. Like it's just this large puzzle and all the pieces have to fit. And I think that's like such an arduous task, but I guess you find your rhythm. How have you found that, especially with the two shows a week, less guests per show, but spread out over 2 days?
Yeah, it's but it ends up being the same amount, right?
Yeah.
8, 9, whatever. What about Helwani and Moro working together for the first time in 2021? I wonder if this is going to come up. I mean, we actually worked officially for the first time together. Pretty big deal, I feel like, if we're talking about 2007. It's such a joy, by the way. You would love it. Like, you know, you're there, you're in the coffee shop, you're getting ready, you're in the pre-show meetings. And it's Moro. Like, you know how I feel about Moro and how much I've watched him over the years. And it's great to see his process and to see how he works. He's such a legend. I love that guy. And there's like brief moments where you'll get him for like 20 minutes. He's not really out and about, but you could pick his brain. And you know how that goes. Like 20 minutes with Moro can go in a million different directions. And it's like I could do 3 hours just sitting and listening to him and picking his brain. So one of the real highlights for me of 2021 was getting to work with the greatest combat sports announcer of all time, in my opinion, the great Moro Ranallo, your friend and mine.
Yes. I actually just talked to him this week. So,
oh wow,
yeah, seems to be doing very well. Now, when we finished the prediction show last year, when I stopped recording, he said, "Hey, you didn't ask the big one for likely unlikely." I was like, "What was that?" Me being at ESPN a year
from
now.
Did I say that?
You did say that after the show. And I did not ask that particular question.
Wow, what
and I
question.
Know at that point, you probably did not know likely or unlikely at January of 2021. But when you go back 365 days, I would say that in the elusive Highway to Helwani Chronicle, 2021, maybe multiple chapters.
Oh my God. Yes. Multiple chapters. I mean, January to June is probably a couple chapters, and then, you know, June to December, maybe another one. I'm guessing it would have been weird for me to say unlikely while I'm still working there.
Yeah,
I probably would have said likely, but in
that,
my heart,
that probably would have got so much attention though. Yes, for this show. Yes. ESPN personality unlikely to return. I'm sure the New York Post would have picked that up.
Source himself. but I probably would have said like I would have said it was like 60-40 at that point, unlikely. Like I come January, definitely come February, definitely come mid-February with that whole Gina Carano thing. I was like, yeah, I kind of feel like the end is near. So
did that Gina Carano thing happen in – that was March, February?
February.
God, that feels so long ago.
I know. It's insane. But that was really like when I think back, and when I'll always think back, that's the moment. Not so much, you know, the thing with Gina and I, just like the way it was handled. Mm-hmm. That's when I knew kind of where I stood. And while people were telling me things behind the scenes, in public, things were handled very differently. And you kind of understand, are like, all right, yeah, maybe they like you, but like they don't like you that much. And they're not going to go to bat for you that much. And so that's kind of a signpost in my brain as I look back at the year that was. That was kind of when I knew it's time to really ramp this up, because a bunch of things happened after. Not to get into this whole story, but like a bunch of things. Like that's when I changed agents and all that. Like I was like, I need to take control of this situation. I need to find out what I want to do, where I want to go, who I want to work with, yada, yada, yada.
My last question before we dive into the meat of the show is that I'm sure you have followed the Ken Rosenthal story with the MLB Network.
Yes.
And like having, you know, both of us, I think, have had experiences like working for big companies that in the modern media age, there are going to be ties to subjects that you might have to be covering. And when I see a story like that, I sort of just exhale. And I'm really glad I'm in this position where I am not put into any of those kinds of situations. But it's also like the reality of working in big media is that an ESPN is going to have ties to a UFC, or you are going to be working for entities like a Sportsnet and its connection where you're covering the Toronto Blue Jays and how far you can go. And it's kind of disappointing to see that like that is the media landscape, but that is the reality. And the Ken Rosenthal story just kind of typified what some of the, you know, you go too far, you're out of a job.
Yeah. I mean, amazingly for him, I've always felt, maybe rightly or wrongly, that those jobs, those particular jobs, NBA, TV, NHL Network, MLB Network, NFL Network, there's some compromising having to be done because like it's the freaking league that runs it, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And so I don't feel like those jobs, and maybe this is unfair on my part, are truly independent. The fact that he was able to stick around for 12 years is pretty damn amazing. But yeah, that's absolute nonsense. I mean, he's one of the most respected reporters in baseball. I would say he's 1 and 2 with Jeff Passan of ESPN, and he's been doing it longer. Seems to be respected by everyone involved, and then he just gets unceremoniously dumped like that. Thankfully for him, works for Fox, works for The Athletic, yes. So it's great that he has those other gigs, and it doesn't seem like those will, you know, present any issues. But Fox is a broadcast partner. I'd be shocked if they got rid of him or anything like that because they're in, you know, in bed with MLB. It's just tough. It's tough in 2022, 21st century. It's really tough to do quote unquote journalism, and whatever your take on journalism may be, it's tough to keep it real. It's tough to say the truth, report the truth when you're working for a rights holder. It really is. And that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to go to Vox. One of the main reasons why I wanted to work with The Ringer, because there's no ties there. There's no ties to any of the MMA organizations. I don't have to be told what to say, what not to say. I don't have to worry about X, Y, and Z. Like, there's a ton of guests that I've had over the past 6 months that I never could have had on my ESPN show. And you know that to a degree, but once you live it, it's a whole different thing. Like if someone tells you like, oh yeah, you know, if you take this job, it's going to be a little bit dicey about, you know, this and that. I'm like, yeah, okay, I could deal with it. But then when you're in the position where you're like, nah, you can't talk about this. And nah, you can't talk. I mean, just on Wednesday, I had Artem Lobov on, and I love Artem Lobov. I think he's a great character. And I'll never forget, Artem Lobov was on my show after he fought Jason Knight in a bare knuckle fight, and his face was all bloody and bruised and everything. And I was told I'm not allowed to have any bare knuckle fighter ever on my show. Not only that, I'm not allowed to talk about bare knuckle fighting. And wow. So his next fight was Pauly Malignaggi, and I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't even reference it. I couldn't even mention it on any of my podcasts. Like, that was a big fight, if you recall, right? The Connor storyline and all that. And my theory is, I was told it's too gruesome. I'm like, we're covering cage fighting here. What are you talking about? My theory was someone in another state on the West Coast said ESPN shouldn't be covering this. So if you notice, they don't really cover it. And I'm not a big bare knuckle guy, but Artem's an MMA guy. That's an MMA story, right? Just like when Tyron Woodley's fighting Jake Paul in a boxing match, that's an MMA story. To me, Artem fighting Pauly Malignaggi is a story born out of an MMA rivalry, right? With Connor and Pauly and all that stuff. And so that was very disheartening. I won't have to face that ever again. I'll never make that mistake. I'm never going to make that. I'm never going to go down that road. So, you know, this is just life in media in 2022. There's a lot of money when it comes to these deals. At the end of the day, you and I and Ken Rosenthal and all these people, like, we're important. We may think we're important, but we're not more important than those TV deals and those rights deals. And so that's just the reality of the situation.
Which always blows my mind that it's the broadcaster paying the league and not vice versa. And yet the leagues are the ones that are perceived to have all of this power that the broadcaster, I think, willfully gives to them. You think UFC wants to disrupt anything with ESPN? They would be out of their mind to disrupt that relationship.
Although, okay, so 100%. Now the MLB Network thing is a little different, right? Because MLB owns that.
Yes.
But yes, yeah. I couldn't agree more. It's amazing how much power is given up. And it's not just with the UFC stuff. You hear it with, you know, I've heard the stories about the NBA not liking Stan Van Gundy and all this stuff. And so, yeah, you're right. It's at the end of the day, who's getting paid by who? And if you break it down to that, it's amazing that the ones who are actually getting the money are the ones telling the ones paying what to do.
So we are going to first recap your likely unlikely performance of 2021 and see how you did. We had 35 scenarios last year thrown at Ariel completely off the top, and Ariel gave an answer of likely or unlikely. And do you want to hear the ones you got correct or incorrect first?
I'll go correct.
Okay, so these are the ones you got correct. One major sports league shuts down midway and cannot finish their season and crown a champion. You said unlikely. All the major sports leagues, you can always depend. Death, taxes, and sports leagues through a pandemic getting to the finish line. Those rights fees, they're not going to pay themselves, folks.
Nope.
The New York Knicks win 25 games. Oh. You said likely. 41 wins for the New York Knicks. So they certainly covered the spread and then
Thank
some.
You.
TJ Dillashaw versus Uriah Faber. You said unlikely. Did not happen. Team Alpha Male did not have another implosion. We did not go back to the feud that seemed like a layup this year, but it did not happen. UFC runs a card at the T-Mobile Arena and is open to full capacity. Mm. You said likely.
Wow.
Against my better judgment, I will say likely. They ran many a card at the T-Mobile Arena, and they, from a live event perspective, outside of the Apex, they had a pretty successful year when it came to demand for tickets.
Boy, do I love those Apex shows.
I know you are a big fan, and maybe they will just stay there.
Just to piss me off.
For infinity. John Jones is UFC heavyweight champion on New Year's Eve. You said unlikely. He was not.
That's a pretty big bold prediction dating back to January, right?
A year ago, I think the idea that John Jones was not even going to fight this year.
Yeah.
Even though I think UFC, they're in a position where I don't think they are as beholden to servicing like their biggest stars. It was definitely a surprise to me that he did not even fight this year. So then I altered it and said, John Jones is UFC light heavyweight champion on New Year's Eve, that you found amusing, and also said unlikely. No championships for John Jones. No fights for John Jones. Amanda Nunes defends her 145-pound title. You said likely, and she did. She did make a defense of that 145-pound title. Kayla Harrison competes on Ultimate Fighter. Unlikely. Unlikely.
Yes.
An MMA group enlists the services of one Bjorn Rebney.
Wow.
You said unlikely. And this is where I am going to invoke my criteria for inclusion on this show. This is like renewing your driver's license, where for Bjorn Rebney to continually be brought up by me on this prediction show, he's got to do something. So
I was just going to say, you are single-handedly keeping Bjorn Rebney alive.
He's done nothing. He has done nothing since the MMAAA and the Mexico tweet. That is it.
That one week, he did the MMAAA. He comes back on my show. He's talking about all the, you know what's amazing? My old friend, who I think you knew as well, Adam Geller, Snacks Geller. Did you know Snacks Geller?
I did not know him. I think you introduced us at a UFC show once. Yeah.
Okay. Legend, unfortunately, passed away far too young. I was looking back at one of our last texts ever, and it was about Bjorn Rebney talking about, he would always text me funny things after my show, and it was about Bjorn Rebney talking about how he watches old Pride shows on his VHS and all that stuff, you know, that gimmick that he would always talk about, which no one ever believed. And so it's just amazing. It was the anniversary of his death a couple of days ago, so I was just reading that, and it's just, what a bizarre time.
The MMA AAA would have celebrated its 5-year anniversary last month.
Wow. Really? That is insane. Five years?
It was the week of the Toronto pay-per-view in December of 2016. Cerrone was on that card after his bear attack or whatever the hell happened to his face.
I still don't know. Was that real or not?
I don't know. I think every year whenever we talk about the MMAAA, we move on to Donald Cerrone. What happened to his face that week? Francis Ngannou does not receive a UFC title fight. You said unlikely. There's no way they can deprive this man. Yes, he got his title fight, but man, was it not smooth sailing for this dude in the UFC this year?
Horrible, horrible. Don't get me started on that one.
UFC eliminates its pay structure of show and win money into guaranteed amount. I'm sure you like laughed uproariously at this.
Yeah.
Unlikely. So there was no shift in guaranteed pay. CM Punk calls a UFC card. Unlikely. Mm. Unlikely. He was busy this year.
Although, you know, he's very prominent on those Fury shows.
Yes.
Fury.
Yeah, he wore a Fury shirt on
I saw that. The Fury
Dynamite
grappling.
Last
Wednesday.
Yeah.
I saw that. Is he good on those? Do you listen to those or no?
I've only heard them here and there.
Yeah.
It seems like he's, you know, he's knowledgeable. He follows like the fighters and stuff like that.
But, it is weird though when you see him like interviewing some guy who's like 2-1. It's like, this is CM Punk, one of the biggest stars in pro wrestling, and now he's, you know, playing the part of Joe Rogan in the cage. But I respect the fact that he's still doing it despite the travel with AEW, and also it seems like it's just more of like a passion thing for him. So yeah, much respect.
The most purchased fight of 2021 is Floyd Mayweather Jr. versus Logan Paul.
Wow.
You said unlikely.
Now, I don't know. Is that true or not?
Floyd and Logan Paul.
What was the most purchased? I guess Connor?
I think Connor and Dustin.
Yeah, which one?
As I recall, didn't the second one slightly outperform January?
Yeah, but didn't they say Floyd and Logan Paul did over a million?
I think that was the number. It's been very hard with these Paul numbers of like what you decipher.
Also, when you asked me this question, by the way, I think we thought that they were going to fight in February, right?
That's right, because that was the one where they had the weird, if you order now, you get it at a discount. Yes. This terrible idea of how to sell pay-per-views.
And now it sounds like he's going to fight another YouTube guy.
He's going to do like some sparring fight with some 19-year-old YouTuber.
In Dubai or something?
Yes, yes. He's like the son of some gigantic millionaire.
I can't hate on it because he's probably making a boatload of money to literally do nothing. Like, his workouts are probably tougher than this. That Logan Paul fight was like the closest thing to a worked match that we've ever seen, right, in recent boxing. Like, there's no chance that Logan could actually hang with Floyd Mayweather. I don't even care about the size difference. It's crazy to me that he even thinks that he won. And I respect, like, I actually like the Pauls. I don't have no problem with them, with what they're doing. They're very smart business-wise. But come on, who believes that they actually, you know, can hang with the likes of Floyd Mayweather? Sanity.
Anthony Johnson makes weight for a 205-pound fight. You said likely, and he did. He did, in fact.
Just one, unfortunately.
Just one fight, yes.
Yeah.
Mark Ratner writes a book.
Oh.
Unlikely. A book I would love to read.
I would love to read it.
Yes, I would.
But I would love to read it when he's out of the UFC.
Yes, yeah, right? Definitely. Do you think there is the freedom out there for someone at like a top executive level in the UFC when they leave to have that ability? Like, I'm going to think that there's going to be like a Joe Silva. If Joe Silva wanted to write his memoirs, do you think
he'll never do it?
He's I don't think he would either.
Yeah, he's too loyal to them.
And or it would be a terrible book, because I think it would be a very much like, if you're not going to give everything, like Joe Silva, that could be a fascinating book, but I don't.
Oh, absolutely fascinating. I mean, I'd love to. Honestly, I think like a Lorenzo Fertitta book would be interesting, just because he's not that much of a quote unquote open book. I don't know if there's many executives over the years that have played prominent roles that are not, you know, still in the UFC or that were known enough to, like, there was Gary Cook for like 2 years, Marshall Zelaznik, but is anyone reading those books? Probably not, unless they're really going to spill all the tea. I was actually talking to my guy GC. He was asking me about some good MMA books, and there aren't that many good MMA books. Like, the one that came to mind was John Wertheim's book, Blood in the Cage. You're Mr. Book now. You read all the books. Like, what, he's reading the Hicks and Gracie book at the moment, but like, what's the greatest MMA book out there?
Clyde Gentry did like a fantastic like history of MMA book called No Holds Barred. First he put out one called Brawl, and then it was like a reissue called No Holds Barred. John McCarthy's book is pretty, if you want to learn like the history of the UFC, especially like all the rules being put together. That was one. Randy's book that Loretta worked on with Randy was an okay book.
Have you read Blood in the Cage?
I have. Yeah. It's a really good book, because it started out where it was just going to be about like the Miletich camp.
Right.
And it kind of like MMA exploded, it sounds like, right as he was writing this. And then it more so became like an overarching book on kind of this explosion. But again, it's, you read it now, it's kind of through 2008.
I know. Eyes. It's tough. Bisping's book, pretty good as well.
I haven't read Bisping's, but yeah, I heard that one was very good. Mark Hunt's book. Did you read that one?
Parts of it, not the whole thing. Good.
I have not read Mark Hunt's book. I read Uriah Faber's book not all that long ago, which it's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's you know, half motivational, half.
Liddell had one, but again, like there's not great. You know, we could sit here and talk about 20 great wrestling books, right?
Right.
from the Mick Foley ones to the actual like historical ones, there's not as many in MMA, in my opinion.
The Tom Wright Chronicles. Where's that one?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Where's Tom Wright? What does Tom Wright do now?
Yeah. Didn't you say that ESPN did some feature on Tom Wright a few years ago? Because I think that was my question of Tom Wright resurfacing, because I have not heard a peep out of Tom Wright since 2016, whenever it was.
Yeah, he just disappeared. Greg Rosenstein, who was the editor of the ESPN MMA page for a minute, he was doing a look back at UFC 149, debacle of an event. And so he was trying to talk to Faber, et cetera, et cetera. Faber fought in the main event against Barao, and he didn't know who Tom Wright was. I was like, you should try to talk to this guy, Tom Wright, who is the head of UFC Canada. Here's his email. Give it a shot. And I think Tom responded to him, shockingly. Wow.
I just assumed he would like resurface in like with some like Canadian sports league of some sort. It's like, you know, he was a big player up here.
Huge.
This is my favorite one that you got correct. Tito Ortiz resigns as a city council member of Huntington Beach, California.
Wow.
You got it right.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah. I don't know if you were going out on a limb, but he did resign. That was it. His political career came to a crashing halt, much as it began. The UFC settles with the fighters and lawyers in the antitrust lawsuit for a sizable figure, thus ending the suit that was first filed in 2014. You said unlikely, and the case goes on. In an experimental move by the state of Kansas, media member Mark Raimondi judges an MMA fight.
Oh, my God.
Unlikely. Did not happen. Mark Raimondi, who I would
endorse.
That'd
be fun.
I would endorse as a judge. Nate Diaz is confirmed for the next season of ABC's Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God.
That Disney connection. Unlikely. Did not happen. Cain Velasquez has an MMA fight. You said unlikely. There's a better chance of him doing something with AAA. And who comes back in December?
Wow.
Cain Velasquez in AAA under the mask. It was not a great match, by the way. But Cain Velasquez did get back into a wrestling ring.
Was it not a great match because of him?
No, it was more so the crowd was like, it ended up like the crowd just shifted and was more into like LA Park than they were Kane. And I think Kane was a little thrown off by like the boos he got. It was like not all on him. It was like, it was a trios match. I'm fully expecting that he's going to continue to try and get the pro wrestling train back on track. He got severely derailed going the WWE route. That was a terrible decision in hindsight.
I mean, I'm sure he got paid a hell of a lot more, but yes, as far as his career momentum, just an absolute.
And signed at a time when you wouldn't think that signing a big contract, I might get cut. Like this was,
I know.
WWE was not in the cutting, you know, splurge that they are in now. Brock Lesnar appears on DC and Helwani, which really does show you how much has happened in a year. No Brock
Lesnar.
Making
me sad now. Jeez.
You did say unlikely.
Okay.
Logan Paul puts out a video using the hashtag Helwani Boxing. That was unlikely. I don't think that did happen. So no, that one correct.
Dana White. We took a selfie together, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
You came close. Dana White and the UFC launched their own news site. Unlikely.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. An interview is conducted with Prebek. Sadly, you said unlikely, and sadly, it was, in fact, unlikely.
Can I just tell you something?
He's the new Bjorn. It's like, where is he? Where is he? Where is Tom Wright?
There's a part of me that is fearing the worst now with Prebek.
Mm.
Like, how do you just disappear, you know?
It happens. I mean, it happens, like, with some people that... I mean, we're in this culture where it's like everyone has, like, at least... that you interact with probably has like a public profile, and some people maybe just completely want to be off the grid. Hopefully.
I respect it tremendously. It's crazy. He was just there and then he wasn't there.
And then the last one you got correct, the recipient for poster of the year on the 2021 Helwani Nose Awards goes to Robert Pearson. He would have got my vote. You said unlikely.
Why did I say unlikely?
I don't know.
Too self-serving.
It could have been. That might have been your description. But Robert Pearson, what an MVP behind the scenes at both post-wrestling and the empire of Ariel Helwani. He's the connective tissue between us.
I got to tell you, I'm such a big fan of that guy. He is so freaking talented. The way in which he does it, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it so quickly. What a lovely guy. I'm a big fan.
He's a guy that just out of the blue, he like will send me like, a nice message wishing me like a Merry Christmas, but he'll personalize it as well. So it's like maybe he's just inserted my name, but he's gone to the trouble of changing the name if he's sent it to multiple people.
No.
He's just a genuinely great human being.
Couldn't agree more. One of those beautiful byproducts of this job that we have, like you just meet these people, right? It's like the DC and Helwani picks. He just like, hey, I was bored and I made this. And then it led to all this other stuff. You meet these amazing human beings who are just kind and supportive, good-hearted, and you don't know why. You don't know why they are compelled to do these things for you and to reach out to you, but it's just like the best part of this job is meeting those people from all walks of life that you never would have met, you never would have interacted with if you didn't have this job. It's an incredible thing.
All right. I'm going to quickly go through the ones you got incorrect.
Okay, yes. Sorry.
Before we go into the new one. So the Toronto Maple Leafs reached the second round of the NHL playoffs. You said likely. They were out in the first round, too.
Why?
Montreal.
By who?
Yeah. The Montreal Canadiens knocked them out, sent them to Toronto, go back into quarantine.
That's right. A beautiful there thing. Although you guys are in a much better spot than we are right now.
I guess so. Yes. There are zero NBA games on Canadian soil this season. And I specifically said not all of 2021, but the current season they were in. You did say unlikely. And the Raptors played in Tampa for the 2020-2021 season. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo, this was definitely a deceptive one that I threw at you to pull at your heartstrings instead of your head. I said the Buffalo Bills returned to the Super Bowl and they did not go to the Super Bowl. You said likely.
I think you had to.
Yeah. They ended up facing the Colts in the first round, and that was that.
No.
What
Give
happened?
Give us our credit. Beat the Colts, beat the Ravens, lost to the Chiefs.
Okay, I've got here the Chiefs at the end. You could have told me any scenario, and I would have just agreed with you. Number of NFL games John Pollock watched? Zero.
I know.
On December 31st, 2021, Conor McGregor is the UFC lightweight champion. You said likely.
Mm.
Bellator airs at least one card on CBS. You said likely to that. Did not happen. How about this one? Khamzat Chimaev only fights once in 2021. You said unlikely.
Wow.
He had one fight this year.
Wow.
To coincide with the 20th anniversary of the UFC purchase, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta are inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. You had said likely. No love for the Fertittas.
Crazy, right?
Snubbed by the Hall of Fame committee.
Yeah. The wall at the apex.
Sage Northcutt fights for one championship. You said likely, and you estimated between 3 and 4 billion people would watch that fight.
Nah.
So did not happen. Poor no Sage. And
he was booked to fight. He was booked to fight Shinya Aoki, remember?
That's right. It fell apart. An onset appearance at either a WWE or NXT kickoff show. You had said likely.
What is an onset? Oh, for me?
Yeah, so appearing on the kickoff, but not from the famous Helwani book backdrop.
Right. Yeah, didn't happen. Although, I mean, I was backstage at Survivor Series.
That's true. You were there. Did you technically appear on the kickoff? That's where we
No, I did not. I did not.
And this last one, I cannot 100% say whether it happened or not, but you put pen to paper or finger to keypad, you start writing Highway to Helwani.
Mm. It's like that thing that's in the back of my mind that I keep saying I should start documenting, chronicling, but no, I have not.
All right. Well, your performance this year.
Yes.
71%. Edging out last year. Actually, you were equal with last year, 71%.
Really?
Year. Yes.
Isn't my best like 80-something?
Your high point was the great year of 2019 where you hit 84%. That is incredible. You've had a strong pass every year. You've never fallen below 70.
And so what is that? How many right? How many wrong?
25 out of 35.
That's not bad.
That's very good. These are think about just like the randomness of some of these.
Yeah. No, I 25 out of 35 sounds a lot better than 71% in my opinion. So
okay,
I'll take it.
So this year I'm going to throw you out all new scenarios. We'll just get likely or unlikely, and at the end, a special game.
Ooh, this is new?
Yes.
Wow.
But it is one that you introduced this year, but we're going to flesh it out. Okay. So there you go. Your brain can start spinning. All right. The Toronto Raptors, currently number 10 in the Eastern Conference, miss the NBA playoffs.
Mm. Now, let me ask you, if they make it into the play-in tournament, you know about the play-in tournament, right?
Not at all.
Please tell me. So there's a new thing now where, so 10 teams qualify, and then it's very hard to...
It's like a mini tournament to determine the
remaining spots? 7, 8, 9, and 10 pretty much play each other to determine who's 7 and 8. So there's like a one-game playoff between those last four teams. Right. So the top six make it in, and then they do this like mini thing. So my question to you is, if they make it in the...
How about they have to qualify from the play-in tournament? Just being
in the
play-in tournament
is not enough.
They have to be in the eight, yes.
That's tough. I'll say unlikely.
Okay, unlikely. I'm typing these now so I don't...
Although they're it's an impressive thing that they're doing. I don't know. You following them?
Not a whole lot, no.
It's just amazing. Like, they've lost all these guys... Masai is just unbelievable. He drafted Scotty Barnes. Everyone said he was crazy. Barnes is looking great. Impressive.
The New York Knicks miss the playoffs as well. They are number 11.
No, it's tough. I'll never go against my teams, so I'll say unlikely.
I basically said this was an unfair one like 5 minutes ago, and here I am doing it. So
yeah. But I have to say it.
Major League,
I don't feel good about things. I'll just remember that caveat.
The opening day of Major League Baseball happens. This labor strife is resolved, and they play on the scheduled opening day. There's no delay in the season.
Talk about not reading the room, right? I mean, like, there's a pandemic. People are losing their jobs. People want entertainment. They want to be, you know, they want to be talking about hot stove and stuff. And like, you morons, this stupid sport, every time, it's like, you guys can't read the room. What's wrong with you? No one wants to be talking about labor crap during a pandemic. That being said, I think cooler heads prevail, and I think they get it done.
All right, likely.
What a disaster that would be, right?
It's
like, who would want to be following this crap after all this bubble stuff and all? Like, really, you morons?
It's amazing when you follow like these industries and the amount of leverage that players have, and we compare it to like MMA or pro wrestling, where. Yeah. Like these fighters and wrestlers that got these companies through these pandemics to make sure all these contracts were paid from television broadcasters, and your cut of that, nothing.
Could you imagine?
And at the end of it, WWE eliminates all these jobs.
Could you, like, honestly imagine? I don't know, SummerSlam at the Thunderdome, right? Imagine they all just said, "Yeah, we're staying in the hotel tonight."
Yeah, and it's. It would never, ever happen. Like, that's, I think, honestly, like, UFC fighters have more of it in them to at least speak openly about some of these issues. Whereas a WWE wrestler, you are never going to hear that in any kind of public space. I think it's total fear of just rocking the boat and being the one person that will stand out, and they will get the brunt of that. And especially now where, like, you've seen sizable names get cut. I don't think anyone wants to put themselves in that situation.
Can I tell you, just thinking about it briefly, why I think that may be the case? Like, you could be, let's say, a Nathan Diaz, right? And be viewed as a malcontent to a degree. But at the end of the day, they have to book you because you're under contract at some point. And then it's up to you to win. Yeah. In this other world, you speak out, you can get buried by them, right? I mean, like, you can either be put on TV for a second, you could be made into a fool, you could lose to some, you know, jobber. So that I would imagine that probably goes into it a little bit as well.
Okay. Phil Jackson returns to work for an NBA franchise.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. Okay. You'd have a better handle on that than me. Yeah. Though I just read his book.
You liked it?
It's an interesting book. I wouldn't like overly recommend it. It's it gets very philosophical at times, which I didn't mind. But in terms of like the stuff with the Bulls and the Lakers, like if you followed those runs, like it's pretty fascinating stuff. It's not like he came across like guarded about team dynamics and stuff that happened behind the scenes. Like he shared quite a bit in it. It's been out for a few years. Sorry.
When does it end? Does it end after he leaves the Lakers?
It ends right as he's joining the Knicks. So this was a number of years ago. So it really
doesn't talk about the Knicks.
It's only like the beginning parts with the Knicks. So none of like the fallout and leaving.
Does it talk about his playing days?
Yep. Yeah. He does talk a bit about that. The Toronto Blue Jays start their season playing outside of Canada.
Oh, God. How depressing. I'm going to say unlikely.
Okay. And now we will get into the MMA portion, starting off with your favorite subject. 10 or more UFC fight nights take place outside of the UFC Apex. So fight night events. 10 or more.
I'll say likely.
Okay. The Mark Kerr film is released by Dwayne Johnson's Seven Bucks Productions. Man. Remember so that?
Yeah. That's like that's the story that led to him coming on my show. Because I tweeted about it, and then like a week later he responded to the tweet some weird reason, and he doesn't even follow me, and although he follows me on Instagram, and every so often I'll get like a text from my friends like, you know, The Rock just commented. He just like randomly comments on my stuff. It's like, wow, this is incredible. The Rock, is that even being filmed?
I haven't heard a peep about this film since they made such a big deal about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say unlikely.
All right.
And, you know, it's not necessarily their fault. Everything changed because that was announced in 2019. By the way, you ever watch Young Rock?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind.
It's not bad. It's not bad. My kids actually like it a lot.
I watched the Christmas special over the holidays. It was nice.
It's not bad. It's actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
With a book coming out this summer, you do an interview on your YouTube channel with Syracuse alumni Brian Gewirtz.
Wow. Does he have a book coming out?
Yeah. Yeah.
About his career?
About his like time at WWE. About Joe Silva. Brian Gewirtz could have a hell of a book. He was there he came there in 99 and was there pretty much full time till around 2012. So think of all that time he was there.
Oh my God.
The dynamics of who he worked with.
By the way, every so often I see him pop up on Twitter and he's like a little bit critical, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
He doesn't hold back. 100%. I mean, I feel like I could easily make that one happen myself just by we follow each other. And, you know, I told you about me going to see him speak at Syracuse, right?
Yes.
I didn't know he was writing a book. And it's
how many people went to that?
Oh my God. It was like 12. And I was so pumped. I was so pumped. Cause it was while he was working for them.
Yeah.
It was, you know, this was, 2003 or something. 2002, 2003. Yeah. It was great.
So are you going likely on this one?
No, likely.
Yeah, likely.
Okay. Yeah, likely, yeah.
Kayla Harrison fights Amanda Nunes.
Unlikely. I thought you were going to go in a different direction there.
A Paul brother wrestles at WrestleMania in Texas.
Interesting. I feel like when they bring in Logan, it doesn't really like stick. It doesn't really do what they want it to do. Am I wrong? I mean, I guess the Kevin Owens thing got them some buzz.
Yeah, it was like at first when they brought him in, I think they thought he was going to be a big baby face and paired him like playing off of The Miz. I was like, do you guys have any idea who this guy is? And the crowd like hated him. And it was like this awful segment he did with Miz and Morrison where the crowd just dumped on him. And then by the Kevin Owens stuff and doing the stunner at WrestleMania, I was like, okay, you guys figured out the value here of a Logan Paul. And the crowd went nuts when he took a stunner.
I wonder if the smarter play is bringing in Jake at this point. Like, I feel like to the audience now, to the combat audience, Jake is a bigger deal.
He feels bigger to me.
Yeah. Because throughout their, you know, lives in the media, Logan was always the bigger deal. I'm going to say unlikely. All right.
Charles Oliveira is lightweight champion at the end of the year. He runs the lightweight gauntlet.
I'll say unlikely.
All right. Combined fights between John Jones and Conor McGregor for the UFC is 3 this year. Ooh, 3 fights between John Jones and Conor McGregor. So one of them would have to fight twice.
Unlikely.
Okay. Conor McGregor fights for a championship.
Unlikely.
Bellator's Bantamweight Grand Prix begins and ends in these 12 months.
Oh. Unlikely. Exactly. So it has to end by the end of 2022.
Yes.
Unlikely. Yeah.
Ambitious. That featherweight Grand Prix, when did it start? Like September 2019, and then they got
but again, pandemic. Yeah. But still, like,
you don't know what could happen. Like,
yeah, but also, like, it has to start now, right? And it's not starting anytime soon.
AJ McKee has a boxing fight with Showtime.
Unlikely.
Nate Diaz becomes a free agent.
That is, what a question. I mean, free agency in MMA. We are on the cusp of maybe something fascinating or something not happening at all. Like, there's four big guys that can actually test the waters. Nathan, Izzy, Connor, and Francis. Could you imagine those guys? Like,
Connor has what, two fights?
Two fights, yeah.
Two fights left.
Izzy has two, I believe. Diaz has one. And Francis has this like term thing where, like, Francis has a weird thing that if he loses, he's done. Mm-hmm. And then I actually think Francis will resign in the end, but like he can actually play out the year. And then they claim at the end of the year, 2022, he can walk away regardless if he's champion or not. I mean, that would be like the Medusa moment, right? Could you imagine Francis showing up on Bellator, throwing the belt into the garbage can?
But when you're looking at like those four specifically, like what is the play outside of, like, is a Bellator, is a ONE, is a PFL? Like, there are no stratosphere to be able to pay these guys anything what they're worth. It's like the play is boxing or...
So weird, right?
Or nothing.
There's no AEW, like, right? There's no
exactly.
AEW.
Exactly. It's like, to me, Bellator is like...
Should be the AEW.
They should be. But if Bellator, it's like, yes, we could guarantee you this money. We have no avenue to recoup this money. We don't do pay-per-view. Like, we could... But like, we're not in that business. So it's like, it would fundamentally change what a Bellator would have to do. And I just, unless you just want to take on a fighter as a loss leader, but it's just it's difficult for these fighters.
That business.
There's
a great
so
point.
Much in UFC's favor. Like, they have so much leverage and control over everybody. And the number two company is just eons away from them.
I couldn't agree more. Also, you have a situation where it's like, if someone leaves WWE, let's say like a Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, and then you're like, oh, he goes there, he's going to fight Omega, he's going to fight this guy, he's going to fight that guy. Okay, if Francis leaves, who's he fighting? Like, who's the fight, right?
Yeah, you're in that position where the idea of putting a fight together, and it's like, you're paying Aldovsky? To watch Francis and Ngannou and whoever the opponent is.
Czech Congo? Like, who's he fighting? That's the problem. So you're right. If Nathan leaves, if Connor leaves, it's probably to do like a one-off thing, or maybe it's to even fight each other. But yeah, it's a totally different landscape. So that being said, so the question once again is, he leaves the UFC or he fights outside?
He becomes a free agent. Doesn't necessarily have to fight elsewhere, but he is free of this contract and is essentially free to sign wherever he wants.
Gonna say unlikely. Which, by the way, on Monday I said he leaves. I didn't like that prediction. I'm gonna say unlikely.
Max Holloway makes a full-time move to the lightweight division.
That is a really interesting one. That is a great one. In fact, I was just talking to someone about that. I think that's likely.
All right. Exactly 10 years after their fight at UFC 145, John Jones and Rashad Evans become training partners again.
Wow. How do you even think of that? I've told you the story about how that feud almost never happened, right?
Why don't you quickly retell?
Okay,
you have told the story, but okay. I enjoy it. Like, you were right in the middle of this.
It's so crazy. These are the stories I need to remember. I need you to help me write the book. February of 2011, he beats Ryan Bader. Rogan goes in the cage. Hey, Rashad's injured. You want the title shot? Yes, I want the title shot. Oh my God, what's going to happen to Rashad? We're going to get John Jones versus Shogun Hua, March of 2011, Newark, New Jersey, UFC 128. I'm working for Versus. Versus is putting on like four of those events a year, for the UFC events. The next one coming up is Martin Kampman versus Diego Sanchez in Louisville, Kentucky, at the KFC Yum Center. So they send me to Albuquerque to do a sit down with John Jones, and they to do for the pre-show as a, you know, interview leading up to the pay-per-view coming up in 2 weeks. So we do this interview, we talk about all the stuff, his career, blah 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 blah, and I ask him about Rashad, and I ask him, if he wins, would he fight Rashad? And he says yes. And I'm like, whoa, that's a big deal. Now, this isn't a live interview, but, you know, obviously huge deal. So now we're in Louisville. I'm at dinner the night before, and they're like, okay. And so, you know, we're going over the show. During the pre-show, a portion of your interview with John is going to air. It's going to be 5 minutes. I was like, oh, what made the cut? I mean, it was like a 1 hour interview, right? This is that. I'm like, wait, the Rashad part didn't make the cut? No, we didn't think it was a big deal. Like, what are you talking about? This is gigantic. If I didn't ask that question,
it's like 700,000 buys, guys. This fight did approximately, now, as I recall.
Like, okay, at some point it probably comes out, right? But the crazy thing is, I asked the question. They say, "Oh my god, okay." So what we end up doing is, it's too late to insert it into the piece. So what happened was, they played the piece. I came back on camera. I think I was actually with Molly Karam, who now is on First Take. She was the host. And then I say, and oh, by the way, I asked him about the Rashad, and we just played that specific thing. So it was salvaged, but it was very clear, if you knew what was going on, that this wasn't originally a part of the piece. And then the whole thing, you know, blew up into a whole big deal, and Rashad got upset and all that stuff. It's just amazing to me that if I didn't ask, oh, by the way, what made the cut? Who knows what happened to that moment and that soundbite? So anyway, going back to your question, no, unlikely.
You know,
although it would be a great story. And I could see John doing something like that, but no, I don't think so.
You know what their team name would be called? The Anti-Jaxxers.
Wow, that is good. That is true. Yeah, you know what? Now they're both. But here's the thing. His beef isn't with Greg Jackson. It's with Wink.
I know.
It's a good name.
It's a clever name. The anti-Winkles are not as not going to get a laugh. Dustin Poirier fights for the UFC welterweight championship.
Wow. Man. The thing is, Usman's fighting Leon Edwards probably, but he's only going to fight him in like May, June, July. Nah, I'm going to say unlikely. Because then like a Khamzat or something will be ready.
Daniel Cormier is inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame.
Good one. They haven't announced the nominees, right? Or the inductees.
No.
Man, I could see it. I mean, it's so hard. Who the hell knows how they pick these people, but I'll say likely.
I think when you weigh in all the different factors, connection to the company, recent retirement, still very much in people's immediate memories. It has kind of followed the path of like a retirement.
Bisping and
go in. Stipe Miocic fights, just period, has a fight.
Also a weird one, but I'll say likely.
Chris Jericho has a wrestling match with Jorge Masvidal in AEW.
Ooh, wow.
Did that big angle. No follow-up as of yet.
Does anyone care about the ATT angle? Like, I feel like no one cares about it.
It's, I enjoy Dan Lambert. Right? It's still going. It's kind of there. It's not like the hottest thing.
But the wrestlers aren't it. Like, the MMA fighters aren't wrestling, right?
No, they haven't been present for some time.
So Lambert is with the two guys?
Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky.
He's like their manager?
Yes.
So it's not really an ATT thing, because they're not ATT fighters, right?
No. I mean, the fighters haven't been there for a while, but I mean, they could always reintroduce them. I fully think that they'll probably.
So he's just kind of acting like an old school heel manager.
Totally. Yep.
He's doing well.
He's doing very good. He's a great talker.
By the way, you know, this guy's like a multi-millionaire, right? Like, he does not have to do this.
Oh, I know.
I don't even know if he gets paid, honestly. I wouldn't even be surprised. He's just, like, talk about a labor of love. I say unlikely.
How about Paige VanZant wrestles in AEW?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I saw a lot of people saying like she was so great. I didn't really think she was that great, to be honest. I thought she was overacting. I thought Kayla was way better than her.
Kayla was great that one time she was there. Yeah, she stood out in a big way.
Everything Kayla does, she's incredible. And also her promos are awesome. I could see that likely.
Eagle FC lands a television deal on a notable cable network in the United States. So we're not going to talk about it. If it's a network that you and I have to ask, or I have to ask you, what is this? Something of note. They land a good television deal in the US.
Unlikely.
Okay. Ariel, an on the record interview with Nikisa Bedarian.
Oh, you like this? You like this idea? You want this?
I would love to hear from this guy.
Yeah.
I
love the fact that, you know, I feel like no one's paying attention to this as part of the story. I keep trying to bring it up.
I don't want to see the person that's out the front and center. I want to see the person, the puppet master.
Yes.
Those are the people I want to hear from.
Oh, my God. I'll say likely.
Can you confirm something?
Yeah.
When we did that media basketball game at the Air Canada Center.
Yes.
Was he playing?
Yes.
That 100%. Was him.
Okay. That was him with the high socks. Remember he came with like, yes, that was 1,000% him.
Yes. I looked up his photo. It's like, I'm 95% sure I played basketball.
I remember because he showed up with like all the fresh gear. And I'm like, man, like this is the guy that comes to the, I think he was wearing high socks. Masai Ujiri and Rudy Gay were there working out. Remember?
That's right. Yep.
Yes. Shout out to Steve Keogh for putting that together. We all got jerseys. That was like the heyday of MMA media, right? I mean, it just felt like we were, you know, there wasn't as much tension between the UFC and the media. It was a great time.
Okay. Now for this one, we're getting towards the end here. This is the kind of the last scenario, not so much likely or unlikely, but I'm going to give you five names and you're going to rank them in terms of the most likely versus unlikely for you to interview this year. One being the most likely, five being no chance.
Is this the game?
No.
Okay.
The game will follow this and then we will
get so one is least likely, right?
Yes. You might want to write these names down, but it's five names and yes, one is most likely, five no chance, most unlikely. So, your five names are Tito Ortiz, Forrest Griffin, Donald Cerrone,
oh God,
Jake Shields, any male member of Dominance MMA.
Wow.
Not Kayla Harrison.
Yeah. You know, a couple have slipped through the cracks.
And let's be specific then. We will just go with Khabib himself. There is a time that I feel that they will be knocking on your door as Eagle FC is about to launch, I think it's going to be coming.
By the way, someone tried to... This is probably a better story off the record, but I don't give a crap. Someone reached out to me to work for Eagle FC.
Oh.
And I was like, you're wasting your time, man. He's like, what do you mean? And I said, just trust me. Go take that one up the ladder and see what happens. Shockingly, it got very high up the ladder. And then I wasn't going to do it, obviously, but I wanted to see how far it would go. And then it was squashed. But to your point, that time may come when something is needed, if you get what I'm saying.
The history of MMA is in Ariel's iPhone.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's start with who is the most likely of those five. We'll go Khabib, Jake Shields, Donald Cerrone, Forrest Griffin, Tito Ortiz. The most likely.
Honestly, I'll go Khabib.
Okay.
I'll go Khabib five, right?
Khabib so would be rank him. If Khabib is most likely, then he's one.
Okay, sorry. So Khabib won. I'll go Jake Shields two.
Okay.
Believe it or not. I'll go Forces. I'll go Tito three. I'll go Cerrone four, Forrest five.
Forrest five. So I tried to combine like ones that might be difficult, but also ones would you want to do these as well?
The majority of them I don't want to do, but
I know.
if I'm being honest. But those are the, you know, Forrest company guy, Cerrone will probably not happen, but I have to put him in there. I still don't understand what the beef is there on that one. Tito like could pop up and do something. I actually think Tito and I aren't really on bad terms at the moment. Jake, like I think I would enjoy that ridiculous debate. I would probably wear a mask for it too, just to piss him off. And maybe I'll wear my luchador mask with a mask over it. And then, you know, Khabib, to your point, maybe they'd want to promote something and maybe it gets so contentious. It won't, like where he's like taking UFC fighters. They're all in cahoots, right? Oh, Kevin Lee gets released. Oh, and then he lands on Eagle FC. Like, come on.
Okay. Is there anyone like on your personal YouTube channel? You did a lot of interviews this year. Is there anyone? I know you don't like to maybe put out like a wish list, but are there kind of like those non-MMA names that you're looking at?
I have a gigantic document that I can pull up right now.
Is Bob McCowan on the list?
No, he's not on the list. So it's actually a good one. I'm going to put him on right now. it's an interesting thing with that because like right now what I'm doing is. I'm trying to not obviously talk to MMA people. I'm really trying not to talk to combat people. There's been a couple of wrestling people here and there, but it's just like, who are interesting people that I know I can get to? These are the ones I'm crossing off the list off the bat. And who are, you know, interesting, somewhat famous, great stories, great lives, but they have nothing to do with MMA. So people that I've seen comment on my page, you know, like Kelly Slater, how would I ever, he comments on my page all the time. So like, oh, this is an easy one. So I'm trying to cross those ones off the list. So there's really no rhyme or reason. And then at some point I'm going to, you know, I'm going to exhaust that list and then I'll get to the wish list. I haven't gotten to the wish list yet, but the wish list is gigantic. I mean, there's name them, but there's a couple of ones that I would love to have that you like, you know, like talking to Renee was really cool. Mm-hmm. When would I ever have an opportunity to do that interview? I'd love to do Jeff Marek. That would be a really fun one. You know, I was thinking of like Dan and Jay or Jay and Dan of TSN fame, like people that I know that I've met along the way that I've respected. I mean, the media guys are super interesting to me. I don't want to go too much into the media stuff because then I'm just in one lane, but those are like the one, like talking to Michelle Beadle was awesome. And when
that was
I
a great interview. Yeah.
Thank you. So that's the stuff that I love doing that. I can't say it enough. I don't get paid to do it. It's just, I've met so many interesting people over the years to finally have a place to talk to them. And for it to make sense has been a lot of fun. Probably like the thing I'm most excited about going into this year, honestly.
All right. I've kept you for a long time.
No
problem. Going to end off with a short game here that you semi-introduced on one of your shows when you were going through kind of the process of, you know, messaging a lot of these people. And you said the line that I could probably tell you if this person is a green guy or a blue guy, referring to text or iMessage. What do they use? So I'm going to throw some names at you and let's see, blue guy or green guy.
Oh, this will be so easy.
Is this the nerdiest game I could come up with?
This is by the way, I love this game. I'm going to kill this game. And it's sad how easily I will kill this game.
Daniel Cormier, green guy, blue guy.
Blue.
Chris Weidman.
Blue.
Chael Sonnen.
Blue.
Oh, I thought maybe green, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. It's blue. Kayla Harrison.
Blue.
Uriah Faber.
Blue.
Pat McAfee.
Blue.
Dana White.
Well, blue. I mean,
as of
2016, he was blue. I'm pretty sure he's a blue guy.
New York Rick.
Blue.
Blue. All right.
You could see a scenario where he would be a green guy, right?
I could totally see a green guy. Who would be a prominent green guy?
Yeah,
I don't think we hit one, did we?
Yeah, that's it.
I only had a very short list here. Yeah.
Okay. Most prominent green guy I would say is Dustin Poirier.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I hate the freaking green people. I mean, let me take that back. I don't hate them personally. I just hate interacting with the green. A recent new green guy is Chris Curtis, Action Man of UFC fame, who had a great 2021. Poirier is probably the number one that I talked to. Let me see here. Let me just go quickly through the Rolodex. I mean, you couldn't believe the names here.
Are you someone that has like, for a lot of guys, it's like multiple numbers or constant?
Oh, yeah. Well, Derek Lewis changes his number every 4 minutes. Most people have kept them the same over the years. Yeah, I'm looking here. I've seen just one green, but it's...
How about a non-text guest? Someone that you've literally got to contact through other means. Is there anyone that comes to mind?
Like a DM?
Someone, I guess it could be a DM or someone that you literally have to pick up the phone if you want to book this person.
There's no one that I have to pick up the phone. Yeah, there's very little green people. Dustin probably the most notable. But like a lot of these new guests, you know, I don't know them, right? Like for the YouTube channel. So like a Kelly Slater, Daniel Ricciardo, I DM them. If what you're asking is there a guy that responds better via non-phone means, like non-text means?
Sure, let's go with that.
I'll tell you who I have more success with responding to is Connor on DM. Mm-hmm. Izzy DM.
All right.
The crazy thing is like you could give me the whole roster and I could tell you the best way to get in touch with this. Like, you say Francis, I'll tell you WhatsApp. You say
is WhatsApp prominent?
Oh, huge.
A lot of people that you interact with?
Gigantic, especially with the if they're European, I go to WhatsApp first. Mm-hmm. There are some people that you will text and be like, "Oh, I never check my text. You should check me with." I was like, "What? How do you not check your text? That's bizarre." So if they're European, honestly, I'll say if they're international, like a Kai Car France, like all the New Zealand guys, the Australian guys, WhatsApp. It's really just the American and Canadians that I go to iMessage first. But all those other guys, like a Whitaker, WhatsApp. I don't even know if like Whitaker's a green or blue guy because it's always WhatsApp with them.
Wow. Well, there we go.
Is this fascinating? I don't know.
I love this stuff. I love this stuff. I love chatting with you about like the how the sausage is made, the booking process, the headaches that must come with it. But there you go. I don't know if it'll come back or not, but Green Guy, Blue Guy.
Blue Guy is a great game. I wish I had a better green. I mean, Poirier's a pretty damn good green guy. There's actually been a couple of times where someone has been like, you know, historically a green person, and then all of a sudden the blue pops up and it's very exciting. You know, they make the switch. Very exciting.
That's a monumental shift in technology.
Because a lot of people, I feel like at this point, they just stick with it.
So final thing. What's your appetite right now when it comes to pro wrestling? You seem to be more engaged than ever when it comes to professional wrestling. And what are your kids following?
Can I be honest with you?
Yes.
They kind of fell off.
Oh, that happens. That's interesting insight of like what the, because such a big focus is trying to get like this younger audience. And my question would be like, yeah, some you might catch and they're going to become lifers, but I think that's going to be very tough. I just watch my son. He doesn't watch any like wrestling of any sort, but he goes through these phases and it's like when he's done with something, he is done with it. It is no revisiting. I'm on to the next thing.
100%. Like there's like a Lego phase and there's a PJ Mask phase and there's a Peppa Pig phase early on. So it's interesting because my middle son, Walter, really into it. His birthday's in February. And I was just thinking of this. Last February, I probably got him 30 toys, like wrestling guys, right? Like classic Bret Hart, because I was so excited that this was like, we watched Royal Rumble, we had a WrestleMania party, and now his birthday's coming up, and his toys are in like a little, you know, box in his room. And I'm like, do you want me to give these away? You never play with them. He's like, no, I'll keep them. But I could tell he just couldn't care less. We watched day one together. They were sort of into it. But there were guys like Madcap Moss, and they had no idea who that was, right? So that just goes to show, you know, I don't know. It's weird. SummerSlam, I think it peaked. We went to a SmackDown show that they were really into it, and I actually thought the SmackDown show, because we sat so close, would put them over the edge, and they would become even more into it, and something else happened. Very bizarre. I am really liking AEW. I really enjoy AEW to me, and I know this will sound weird, has a very 1999-ish WCW vibe to me. And I know that's not a great era for WCW, but it was always like, I just was kind of, it was so different than WWE, and I just wanted to see what they would do to switch things up and to disrupt, that I was really into those pay-per-views back then. I like the fact that they don't do a pay-per-view every month. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit hard to tell, like Rampage, the Dark, this, there's like a lot going on, I feel like. But I enjoy the Wednesday product. I don't really watch the Friday show because the Friday show is taped, right?
Yeah, they tape them on Wednesday, the occasional live one. But honestly, like I find like their Rampage, they try to make more of a priority, but I think you can get by fine with 2 hours a week of Dynamite, and you'll be up to date on the stories. If something big happens on Rampage, they will certainly focus on it on the Wednesday, and you can, it's a lot less in investment of your time. Whereas, you know, trying to get your child to jump onto WWE, and it's like, we have one roster on Monday where it's a 3 hour commitment, another on Friday, you have NXT. If you want to follow this, it's like, what a commitment. What other product is asking you for that amount of time on a weekly basis? I think it's very hard for people to jump on board. And if you're not watching all of it, do you feel like you're kind of left out of certain stories? And are you really invested in all of it?
I said this to you over the weekend. The best way to watch WWE right now, in my opinion, is just watch the pay-per-views. They do a fantastic job of putting together those like 3-4 minute packages. It tells you all you need to know. They actually make the storylines more interesting.
Like those video packages don't get enough love. Like they do a tremendous job. So that comes across like, wow, this is a lot more compelling than what we watched in real time.
100%. Like I was watching day one and there's like a package on Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch. And I'm like, okay, I got it. Now I'm ready for the match. You know what I mean? I didn't have to sit through a month. So number one, love the Saturday pay-per-views. I hope they remain.
They're doing a lot of those this year. There's a few Sundays, but Saturday seems to be the big night that they're shifting to.
I'm very excited about Lashley Brock, although I think it should happen at WrestleMania and it's happening too soon. I know that's a weird thing to say considering Lashley's been trying to get this match for like a decade, but it feels like they just stepped in something and they're like, oh, we need to go do this right now. I know they have their WrestleMania plans, but to me it's fresh. It's fun. It feels big. Save it for Mania. Have Lashley win the Rumble. Save it for Mania.
Are you going to the Rumble?
That is up in the air. So my deal with BT is to go to the 4 big ones. But they haven't told me because of all this, you know, travel craziness. Mm-hmm. That was the original plan, but I don't know if things have changed now. So the plan would be to go to Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. It was fun to do the Survivor Series stuff. But even like that car, I felt that car was very still. I mean, other than Becky and Charlotte, it was very still. I hate these non-title main events and the guys wearing the t-shirts and blue mm-hmm. and red. And I'm not into any of that. So wrestling is interesting. I feel like it was a little hotter a few months ago, like September, August, when AEW was really coming strong. But I really like it. And honestly, the number one thing that I really like about AEW right now is like you see on Wednesday, I was watching, I just saw the main event. I saw Jungle Boy come out and everyone's like into his entrance. And it's and you look at people and they're having fun. And it's, you know what I mean? Like it's like, wow, this is cool. It feels like a cool club.
And I always say that's such a big appeal is that you watch it and through the characters, the music, it's you watch huge. Those shows, you want to be in that crowd. And that absolutely. To me was always an appeal with ECW. It's that it's a commercial for selling tickets as well, because, you know, you can watch an AEW show and you very much want to be part of that crowd.
They do such a great job. Like the Adam Cole entrance is amazing. The Orange Cassidy entrance is great. I'm a huge MJF fan. I think he's an amazing talent, probably the best heel in wrestling right now, in my opinion. Honestly, even better than Roman Reigns, as far as like feeling like it's real. Anyway, I'm into it. It goes through peaks and valleys. I feel like Roman versus Brock, I love when there's like a big match coming up at WrestleMania and you're like, this is going to feel special. And I hate when it feels like it's cobbled together. I thought last year was like a little weird, the triple threat main event. I didn't love it. I don't like the two-night WrestleMania thing. I'm kind of going all over the place. I liked it when it was NXT. I hate NXT now. I can't even watch it. It's unwatchable. Wrestling should be fun. It shouldn't be a bear. Shout out to guys like you and Wei and everyone who like do this for a living and have to go through all this stuff. It's a bit depressing at times when you see all these releases and it's hard to root for something like that when you see all these releases. But overall, I mean, as I've said, I think it's in a better spot than the world of MMA per the point that we were talking about earlier, where there's an option for guys, right? There's an option for guys and girls to go somewhere else to have some kind of leverage. It's not a ton. Sad to hear about Ring of Honor. The GCW stuff is cool. And what I'm really looking forward to, John, is the debut of the Freddie Prinze Jr. wrestling promotion, which I will prominently be involved in. He doesn't know this quite yet, but I will be in it. Macaulay Culkin will be involved. I don't know if you heard his interview with Macaulay Culkin. Fascinating to hear Macaulay Culkin talk about wrestling on his podcast. So that's going to be one of the big stories of 2022, in my opinion, in the world of pro wrestling.
So if his people contact you, you can ring that one up the ladder to the top and Ariel might be involved.
Maybe. But no, well, he'll have to talk to my agent, yes. Nick Khan. No, I'm just joking.
I hope we get the follow-up this year.
Yeah, maybe it could be like every – remember when I used to do the Dane interviews? Could you imagine every pay-per-view I get a big Nick Khan interview?
Yeah, so Nick, you said to expect some changes to NXT in a few weeks. Let's talk about how's
it going? Can we talk about the logo and the you can't do this on television vibe of the whole thing? Remember that show?
Well, yes, Ariel.
Did I lose you?
All right, do you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Well, my connection is unstable. This okay. show, though, is as stable as ever because we're going to give you 10 more years of these. Once I send out my blue iMessage to Ariel next year to come back on the prediction show. Ariel, thank you so much for all of your time over the past year. It's always fantastic to chat with you.
I look forward to it every time. Thank you very much. Happy New Year's to you and your family, and keep up the great work. I love the post shows, the pre-shows, the podcasts. You guys are doing awesome work. So thank you.
Same to you and yours. And that is it for the 2022 prediction show.